Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Dawson is a multiple world record holder. He is an extreme adventure athlete, a former investment banker. He is a speaker and author. His newest book is Strength and Surrender. Welcome to the show, Dawson.
I appreciate you having me on, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, so, you know, a couple of years ago in 2018 is a good friend of mine and I started an organization, which is Dawson's Peak Foundation. We're a registered 501c3. Our mission is to inspire the discovery and pursuit of individual purpose, basically to get people to understand that we're all capable of living kind of greater lives with that greater sense of purpose. But more importantly, not only for ourselves, but for others, because every single thing that we do impacts everyone else. So with that, we have responsibility to live our lives to the fullest potential and have the biggest positive impact we can possibly have. The way that we work as an organization is that we create large-scale global one-off expeditions where we sponsor individual athletes and where these athletes are pushing the boundaries of human performance and capability, both mentally and physically. And that way, viewers can watch the athletes and their pursuits, then draw parallels between themselves and our athletes and to say, hey, if this person is doing X, Y, and Z, then maybe I can identify something in my life that I can look to, you know, to challenge, to conquer, to overcome, to address, to whatever, things that I've been hesitant, you know, to address, you know, in my life. So we're trying to draw that parallel where the expeditions are really just a Trojan horse for that greater conversation of purpose and performance and, and commitment and community and, you know, service to others, you know, that kind of thing. So really it's just a way to initiate those greater conversations rather than, you know, than an end in and of themselves.
I think that's cool. I feel like that has the ability to maybe humanize it a little bit more instead of me reading about David Goggins and waking up super early and going for really long runs when I can actually have more of a relationship with the athlete and just through your foundation. You think that's probably why you're doing it.
Exactly. Look, and this is not taken away from anything anybody's done because there's so many people doing so much cool stuff right now. It makes my head spin when I see what everybody's doing. And I'm very, you know, proud of everybody and excited to see the things that people are doing, you know, pushing these boundaries. But it's just, if you want to talk about, you know, the mountain was this cold and it was 40 below and I, you know, couldn't feel my fingers or I was throwing up or I had, you know, like whatever. It's look, once you've been doing this stuff long enough, everybody's been in that. Everybody's had the hard days. Everybody's pushed through. Everybody's this and that. And we're trying to come at it from a different angle where we're, yeah, all that kind of stuff's important, but what's the kind of greater takeaway of it? And the greater takeaway is that we're all capable of so much more than we understand or that we want to understand, because with that understanding comes responsibility and comes power. And it's not only for our own personal development, but again, is that literally every single thing that we do, public or private, good or bad, right or wrong, is going to eventually impact everybody else in some way. So because of that, we have not only a greater duty, but a greater responsibility. And that's really kind of what we're trying to convey with our message is that, you know, we can talk about the mountains and the temperatures and this and that and how bad things hurt and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But there's just so much more that we can talk about as people rather than, you know, simply athletes. Because at the end of the day, you know, if somebody's, you know, working in Omaha at a factory, you know, doing whatever, and they don't plan on climbing Everest at any point, I don't want them, and we as an organization, we don't want them to say, well, this is not applicable to me because I'm not a mountain climber, I'm not an ocean rower. Before I got started, neither was I. You know, so this is just a lot more than simply the physical pursuits.
There's so much really important stuff there. I think that for me personally, one of the things that animates me in my life is the necessity to realize my highest potential. So there's that. But sometimes I can still be in my own head and talk myself out of doing the things I know I need to be doing. And that's when I think about the people who do rely on me or the people that did come before me. And it's those outside influences that oftentimes win the day and cause me to do the things that I know I need to be doing.
Right. No, it is. And, you know, it is. And that was probably the biggest transformation in my life, which was in my late 30s. I think I was 38, 39. And this was just before starting Dawson's Peak Foundation. This is really the crux of it is look, I was in a place where professionally I was very comfortable. I'd reached a certain level of success. I had all my, the basic necessities of life. I could, and I could go out and buy fun stuff and do fun stuff and all that kind of stuff. But I was struggling, man. Like I was really hurting. I was in a very, very dark place. I didn't communicate to anybody. And what I came to understand was, through that is I traveled to Nepal, spent 3 weeks hiking alone around the Mount Everest region, and went to a Zen Buddhist or to a Buddhist service in Tangbo Che at the largest monastery in the Khumbu Valley where Everest is. And I sat with these chanting monks for about an hour. And after that service is I had this breakdown, and I write about this in the book in a lot more detail because it's a longer story, but this breakdown and a breakthrough where, I'm on the ground, like in tears, like just pouring out and just in just so much physical and emotional pain for 15, 20 minutes. And something spoke to me. And whether you call it God, the universe, collective unconscious, whatever it is. And it said, you're not living with a sense of purpose and your life is only about you. And I knew that in that second, that was the answer is that, look, I was a good person, but I was still a selfish person because I wasn't thinking about the impact I was having on others and the role that I played in this greater, play that I was a part of, and to your point is that that's what I have to, that's what I choose to focus on now day to day is that, look, I understand I feel a certain way, but I also understand that my life is not just about me and just how I feel about this moment is not just about me. It's just what impact am I going to have on everybody else? Because again, we can't pick and choose when we're going to have impacts on others. It's every single thing we do, in my opinion, contributes to this collective unconscious that everybody's a part of. It's like a pool of water and we're constantly pouring in this pool, everything that we do. And when you think about it in that sense, there's a greater sense of responsibility, but there's a greater excitement to understand that we contribute so much.
Well said. Is that in any way a sorting mechanism when you realize that? Does a big chunk of the population just say, oh, well, this isn't for me anymore? And then a big chunk of the population says, yes, this is for me. I am going to start moving in the direction of realizing my potential, embracing the responsibility that I have.
That's a great question. I don't know if you can bifurcate it that cleanly, or maybe they're kind of shade. And I understand the point of the question, but I think there's probably shades, along there's gradations, along that scale. But I think that, somewhere on that scale, we're all in there.
Sure.
And it's, and I think the classic debate is either we don't realize how strong we are and the role that we can play, or is it we're scared to understand how strong we are and the role that we play, because with that realization comes responsibility. And when you have more power, you have more responsibility. And I think in today's society, through this unbelievable push of commercialism and capitalism and the social media, it's always, where's the hack? What's the easy way? What's the 5 minutes to this or that? Or, And I think that's truly the wrong approach in so many regards. And it's more and more about victimization, about taking your power away, or about buying the answer, buying the solution. So it's getting people to kind of disconnect in order to reconnect with themselves, to understand that level of power, and to not be fearful of it, or at least to be fearful of it to a healthy degree where it motivates them rather than paralyzes them. So I think it's a narrow line we got to walk there. But look, I feel like I've used the word exciting, more times in this conversation than I have in a while. But that's the exciting part of it is to realize that power and the application of that power. Then now the question is, what are you going to do with it?
I think that that's exactly right. So there's so many different conversations and very worthwhile conversations here, how to get some of the people who are maybe on the other end of the spectrum that say, you know, this isn't for me, over to the other side. But if you don't mind, I'd like to focus on just, I am more in the camp, and I think most of the people that are listening to our show are probably in the camp of, I want the responsibility, give it to me. That doesn't mean that I know how to do it necessarily or that I'm doing it effectively. You talk about duty and capacity. I feel like that probably plays into this.
It is. And I'm very big on these little sayings or idioms or just like little things you can kind of have in your pocket to pull out when you need it. And duty and capacity is one that we really use a lot with Dawson Speak Foundation, and the importance of understanding the difference between the two. And that goes from being self-centered to service-centered. Is, you know, capacity is that we all have the capacity to function at a higher level. Is, again, like we talked about earlier, is that we're all capable of more than we understand or that we want to believe. And then the duty of it comes, you know, has to do with shifting it from yourself to others. Because now that you understand you have this capacity, is what are you going to do about it? And that you have the duty, not only to yourself, but more importantly to others, to maximize that capacity and to maximize the influence, impact you're going to have on the world. And that I think that's the thing that, to your question earlier about how do you get people from one camp to the other? Look, a lot of people, they feel powerless. And they say, I'm just so-and-so who does whatever from wherever, and they don't see the power, the potential in themselves. And once you understand that you can be whoever from whomever doing whatever, and that has the ability, and it's not to sound cliche, but to impact and change the world, maybe not on a big macro level, but on a micro level, day to day, eventually that's going to have a larger and larger impact. And when we understand that capacity and apply it to our duty, that's when we all kind of start uplifting each other together, and all these little things start building upon each other. It's almost like, for lack of a better term, you know, for lack of a better simile, kind of like a sandcastle. It's just one grain doesn't look like much, but you put together 10 billion grains and now you get something that looks like something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. The capacity piece, that we're all capable of more. We have these wonderful gifts as human beings, and for whatever reason, many of us just aren't tapping into it yet. But when that light gets turned on, like, oh, I can do lots of things. I'm more than just George from Minnesota that does this. Exactly. And then once you realize that, putting it to work in service of others, I can see that being a giant shift.
It is. And also it's important that we don't denigrate, you know, who we are and what we're doing. It's just say, oh, I'm only so-and-so, only doing this. Well, being so-and-so and doing whatever, whether, you know, if you're a mechanic in you know, wherever in Yugoslavia, you can still make a difference. And also what you do is not who you are. Like what you do professionally is not who you are. So maybe you are doing, you know, whatever, but just then, you know, on a personal front, now you have the ability to do, you know, so much more. So I think we also get that confused as well from time to time.
Yeah. Super easy to do that.
Yeah.
Very, very, very human to do that. Who am I? Who am I to be doing that? Look at this guy climbing mountains and doing this, that, and the other thing. And I'm just turning wrenches in Yugoslavia. But that's the incorrect.
Well, it's funny is, but also it's like, because everybody thinks that. Yeah. Hell, I think that about myself. Like I'm just so-and-so from somewhere climbing a couple mountains, you know, rowing an ocean, whatever. I'm like, and I look at other people doing all these things. I'm like, who the hell am I to do anything? You know, so it's like we all have to push through that to some degree.
You talk about inspiring people to do more than they currently maybe think that they can in service of other people. Is it? But we also don't want to engage in some kind of an infinity war where I'm trying to go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, redlining it. I need to find sustainable success, if that's the right term.
No, look, I think that's a great, you know, question to bring up. And that's something, to be totally honest with you, that's something that I've struggled with. It's when I'm sitting around the couch or doing whatever, I can have a general anxiety from time to time. Like, what am I doing right now? How am I being productive? That kind of thing. So I think that ties into, you know, to the book about strength and surrender, is that it is a matter of having that level of surrender, where you're, you know, surrendering into, you know, the fears and the hesitations and trepidations, you know, things like that, but also having the proper amount of perspective. Is that, look, you don't have to be quote unquote on 24 hours a day in order to be effective, in order to live with purpose, in order to grow. Is that life, like, I think life is about a balance, maybe not balance, because I don't live a balanced life, you know, but it is about figuring out when to do things, when not to do things. And I can tell you now is that there is no being on 24 hours a day, because that will lead to, you know, to a bad path. Ultimately, it's about figuring out when to pursue, you know, what you're pursuing, but at the same time, being cognizant of all your actions, all the things you do are having impacts on you as a person, where, you know, it maybe if you're not out, you know, doing something, but you're sitting around eating ho-hos and watching stuff you're not supposed to be watching and doing things you're not supposed to be doing, you can't hide that stuff in the closet for long. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's finding that balance, wherever that balance is on the spectrum, but being cognizant of what we're doing and why.
Yeah. Maybe just a couple ho-hos, not the entire box.
Hey, on a cheat day, I'd say about 3 pounds of them.
Yeah, okay.
So, nice. Don't get me wrong.
So I've been thinking lately, just you're putting things in containers and having containers available for things. So when it is time to, it's my cheat day, so I can go all in or honor that as well. I don't need to be always pursuing personal development or whatever. And if it's at the end of the day, I'm not working anymore and I'm not doing about this anymore, it's just family time. So just telling people to be more sustainable is a tricky thing if I don't know really how to do that.
No, it's what we're saying. It's just, you know, just being cognizant of what you're doing and why you're doing is, don't feel the need to be, if you're going to be on and off, on and on, on and off, is I think that's going to create, you know, and that's going to lead to burnout. So it's don't feel the need to be on and off. Just be consistent with what you're doing and why you're doing it, but then understand there are different levels to it. You know, look, to be totally honest, yesterday I had a cheat day. So I sat around, I ate 7,000 calories of anything that I wanted after my workout, you know, for a certain period of time. And I put on like 6 pounds, and that was actually a small cheat day for me. I can normally put on 8 to 10 pounds in a cheat day. And that's easy to do, but I was able to do that because of what I did leading up to it. And then when it was time to stop, I stopped and, you know, got back on where I was going to go. And it all plays a role together, but don't feel the need to be this on and off, because I've tried that stuff in the past, and for me, it's exhausting. It's like, oh, now I got to be on. Now I can be off. It's just be consistent. You know, just understand when there's times to perform, when there's times to recover. I think maybe that's a better way of looking at it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So with the foundation and the different athletes that you're supporting, sponsoring, whatever the term is, talk me through how that actually works and how I could participate just as a whatever the term for that is too.
Yeah, no, look, I appreciate you asking that. It's that, so our current project is Project 7 for Soldiers, where I'm attempting to set 7 world records. You know, originally we were trying to get this done in 12 months. So we kicked it off on May 23rd, 2021, and where I was going to climb the highest peak on each continent, ski to the North Pole and South Pole, row a boat across the Atlantic Ocean, trek solo and support across the Mojave Desert, Death Valley, and then fly a plane around the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything was going great until Russia, Ukraine. And because of that, North Pole got canceled. And because of that, the fly around the world got canceled. And every year since then, the North Pole has gotten canceled and the flight has gotten prohibitively expensive. So we've been kind of stuck in this quagmire of trying to finish up 7 for Soldiers, which hopefully we'll finish up in April of 2025. And once we have that, you know, we'll identify some bigger projects, newer projects that we're working on, bring in some more athletes. Cause for this first project is I was going to be the guinea pig, where I was going to, you know, put my money where my mouth was. I'd be the first person to do it, you know, things like that. So after that, we'll figure out some new athletes, you know, new projects, you know, different things like that. But I'll also be undertaking my own personal expeditions that you can follow along with. It's the easiest thing to get involved is just to go to, you know, at Dawson's Peak on Instagram or Dawson's Peak.com. And that is that's my personal website. That links to the charity website as well. And something very important to talk about with Seven for Soldiers, and hence the title, is that we're working with two great veteran organizations on this project. So the two of the highest rated veteran organizations in the country, which is Hope for the Warriors and Gary Sinise Foundation. So they're receiving 100% of the net proceeds that we raised during this project. So since we got kicked off in 2021, is I haven't made a penny on it. My organization hasn't made any money. So literally 100% of net proceeds benefit those groups. So you can get involved, donate, share, all that kind of stuff on DawsonSpeak.com, where it links to the charity site.
Nice. Those seven things that you rattled off so quickly, which one did you have the most trepidation about?
Yeah, it's an easy question. I'm trying to give you an honest answer.
No, I appreciate that.
I think heading into it, it was either Everest, because Everest is Everest, and that was literally because of the North Pole closure for COVID reasons before Russia Ukraine. We were going to kick off with Everest, and that was my first time climbing an 8,000 meter mountain. Obviously, Everest is Everest. You don't know how your body's performing at altitude. So there was that. But also, I think the ocean row was, where I rode across the Atlantic Ocean was tough, because that was going to be coming. That was going to be the ninth expedition. And even to get to that place, having been successful, 100% successful, was going to be a borderline miracle. And the plan was, if I could just get there, then just put my head down, shut up, row until I hit land or until the boat sunk. And just kind of deal with it. So I think those are kind of the two that stuck out in my mind the most.
Yeah. That's fascinating. It's I don't even know if it's the right question or not. What's harder, the physical challenge or the mental challenge of rowing across the ocean, do you think?
Look, I can tell you without even having to think about it, it's the mental side of this is so much more difficult than the physical. And probably like yourself and like a lot of people that are listening to this, is we've all gone through a lot of, physical difficulties in our lives and had, big workouts or pain or, whatever. But going into it is I thought it was going to be the physical elements. Like, oh, if I can just get this mountain and that mountain, and it's going to be 30 below zero and I might lose a finger or I might break, whatever, or just can't sleep for 3 days. And, none of that stuff just pales in comparison with the psychological elements. And it's like we talked about earlier about being on and off, is that, look, we've been pursuing this since August 1st, 2018 is when it first got started. It's gotten delayed because of COVID, Russia, Ukraine, and to find a way to continue to push forward literally for years and years and years without having a break, and training for 20, 25 hours a week and trying to create an organization and raise sponsorship and raise awareness. And it's all this stuff. Is that the physical elements have been the easiest side, of all this. But that's what everybody wants to talk about, because I get it. That's the fun stuff. But the psychological elements of finding a way to keep going, of still having an excitement about it, still having, the proper outlook and how do you push your organization forward? How can we continue to make changes and impact, Gary Sinise Foundation, Hope for the Warriors? That has been by far the most difficult element, of all this.
Yeah. If all you had to do was row the boat, that'd be easy.
if I could just be left alone to climb 26,000 feet, my life would be so much easier.
Piece of cake. It's getting up and doing it every day and wondering what's going to happen next and everything else. I totally get it, Dawson. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate everything that you're doing. I appreciate you picking the thoughts and rowing the boat and climbing the mountains and helping people to realize their capacity is so much greater than they currently think that it is. And once they realize that, then put it into work and fulfilling their duty to the other people on the planet and having a real and lasting impact. And we can all do that. So I love it. Tell us again where people can learn more about you and where can they get their copy of Strength and Surrender?
Yeah, so Strength and Surrender is coming out. Right now it's slated to come out on October 22nd. You can find it on Amazon. It's going to be the first place. Then it'll kind of get expanded out to, hopefully some physical retailers after that. But it's Strength, IN surrender. And then the rest of the stuff can be found, like I said, on Instagram, which is just at Dawson's Peak, P-E-A-K, or link into my personal website, which is just dawsonspeak.com. And that link, or, you know, go into that website and that links to our charity website, which is dawsonspeakfoundation.org. But again, it's like I said earlier, is 100% of the net proceeds that we raise benefit Hope for the Warriors, Gary Sinise Foundation. I haven't made a penny on this in years. So anything you can do to get involved, to donate, to share is, please get involved, and we would greatly appreciate it, because, I think it's just a great example of, again, it's not about what we're doing, but about the impact that we can have. And, these men and women that have served our country, that are with these organizations, certainly develop, certainly have earned, our respect and our willingness to help them out some.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Dawson your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to dawsonspeak.com. Check out everything he's working on. Follow him on Instagram at Dawson's Peak and get your copy of Strength in Surrender. And we'll link all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Dawson.
Hey, listen, I've really enjoyed it. Thank you. It's a great way to start my day.
There you go, brother. Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.